chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. Last book of the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Right at the end of the book. Are we there? Not many times I've preached from Deuteronomy, I have to say. I think certainly the first time since I've been here. You will probably have heard this verse. And we're going to read the bit from verse 24. We're going to think about Moses' blessing, or God's blessing through Moses to Asher. Verse 24. About Asher, he said, "Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, 'Destroy him.' So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, O a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper, your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places." Could have chosen almost any of those verses, couldn't we? There's some wonderful promises in there. We're going to focus in on verse 25. Just a beautiful promise that the Lord gives to us there. The NIV says, "And your strength will equal your days." The authorized version, and you won't find me saying this many times, but where it's fair, I will say it. The authorized version and the English Standard Version are better in this instance, where they translate it, "As your days, so shall your strength be." Now, we should have a PowerPoint for this. There we go. So that's the promise that we're looking at. And I have to say to you, for me, this really feels like a now word for us. Do you know what I mean by a now word? All of the Bible is God's word, isn't it? You know, whenever you read the Bible, you're reading God's word. So we don't ever have to say, well, what is God saying to us? God is always speaking to us every time we read his word. But there are times, and I'm sure you've all experienced this, when you read it and it's just like, it's fresh and it comes and the Lord applies it to you. I got to tell you, I read this verse this week, and I know it probably doesn't take much to get me to cry sometimes, but it was just the Lord was saying, "Stuart, this is for you, and I want you to give this to my people on Sunday night." It's just a wonderful word. You know, it's just there, and it just applies to us and to many of you. I pray that tonight this will be the word of the Lord to you right now. You might say, "Well, that's actually not where I am, Stuart. It hasn't hit my button tonight." There will be times when you will need this for sure. Or there will be people that you'll be talking to in your day-to-day life. People in church here, as you talk with them and you share fellowship with them. And this is a word for you to store away. And then, you know, when you find someone and it will, you know how it is, the Spirit will just say, this is the time to give them that word. Just share with them that verse. Share with them what it means. So tuck it away and use it to share a word of comfort or encouragement or strength. Maybe even pray that the Lord will lead you to someone this week where you can bring this word to them, because we believe in an immediate God, don't we? You know, we believe in the God of history, but we believe in a God who speaks to us today. I believe in a God that speaks through me today, but we're a kingdom of priests. We're a kingdom of priests. In other words, we're all priests. We all minister the word of God. And he wants us all to be sharing his word. So have a think and pray to the Lord that there may be someone this week that you can just share it with. You don't have to preach it. They might not be a Christian. But how wonderful it could be for somebody in a difficult situation, you could just say to them, look, you know, on Sunday evening in our church, this might not mean anything to you, but if it does, then let me tell you what the Bible says. For those who trust in the Lord, he promises that as your day, so your strength will be. They can take it or not, can't they? But you've given them the word. It can be as simple as that. It was a promise that was originally given as part of the blessing to the tribe of Asher. Now, blessings in those days were far more than kind of a fond wish. Coming from someone like Moses, we need to understand it as coming from the Lord himself. Now, Asher's territory is right up here. This is Israel on here. You probably all recognize that. But on this map, it's split into the various tribes. So this is the Mediterranean Sea over here. And you can see there's Judah, Manasseh, Dan, Benjamin, little Benjamin. He's called the little tribe of Benjamin, isn't he? And that's where he is, just there. Now, Asher is right up here. And it's quite significant because Asher, that area of territory was rich with natural resources. Being right on the coast, it was great trading routes. There was good ports in that area, so it was renowned for trading. But it's also, you'll notice, it's bordered. It's on the edge of the, what should we call them, the pagans that were living around them. And for that reason, whilst they had natural, superb natural resources, they were one of the tribes that had to encounter invasions on their territory by the people living around them. As well as the troubles that they would have from within. When the tribes went in, when Israel went into the promised land, the Lord's command was to drive out the Canaanites that were in there. He says, if you don't, they will be a thorn in your side. Asher is one of the tribes that didn't drive them all out. So there were still little pockets of the indigenous people in their land. And obviously, you can imagine, they were not happy about the Israelites coming in, taking their land, and so they would do acts of terrorism and made it very difficult for them. So there was problems from outside, there were problems from within, but the Lord gives them this promise: as your days, so shall your strength be. He would supply them with the strength and the ability to enable them to do and to live as they needed to, despite the discouragements and the times when they perhaps would feel overwhelmed by what was going on and the difficulties that they were facing. And as it was a promise to Asher, who was part of the people of God, so it's a promise to us as part of the people of God as well. For the Lord is our God as well, and he promises to give us as much strength as we need for any given day, as much strength as you need for any given day, any given circumstance, any given situation. And like Asher, we have enemies without and within, don't we? We know them so well, and so often we feel weak and we feel vulnerable in the circumstances of life. Responsibilities that we have to, that we bear, responsibilities in our families, responsibilities in church for some of us, responsibilities at work, fears and troubles and doubts and anxieties, questioning if we could cope with the demands that are put on us, whether we're going to be able to hit the targets, whether we're going to get the projects done, and all of those kind of things. If we'll be able to manage the responsibilities. We might feel weak because of health and illness, or we might be with people that are struggling with us. How much more can I take? Have you ever felt that? I think some of you have. You've been in that situation. How much more of this can I take? And day after day after day, you live with it. Daily disappointment, daily weakness, daily frustration. It's part of your life. Then there's weakness and vulnerability when it comes to temptation, isn't there? Temptation to sin in word or thought or action. We realize and feel our weakness when we're fighting and we're resisting, and yet we realize that we've fallen again. We've fallen short of the standard of God. We've fallen short of our standard of what we would want to do. And we wrestle, do we not, to stick with doing what's right? We wrestle to keep doing what we know the Lord would want us to do in our thoughts, if not in actions, in our thoughts. You know, to stay loyal in companionship and relationships. Loyal not to break confidence of people. Just temptations in the everyday things of life. Or it might be just with our walk with the Lord. We feel so weak and we struggle so much of doing what we really want to do and keeping up the good intentions. You know what it's like, don't you? We're in church on Sundays and, you know, the Lord has spoken to us and we've said, yes, Lord, this week I'm going to do such and such, or I'm not going to do the other. And then we get home and it's so hard to keep that up. We realize our weakness and the difficulties and the discouragements. You can add your own to those, that little list there as well. Areas in which maybe you feel weak, where you feel vulnerable. Well, the good news that the Lord gives to us is this promise. As your days, whatever circumstance, whatever area of weakness you feel, I will give you, I will supply you with strength. As your days, so your strength shall be. Let's have a think about that promise this evening. I've got three things to say about it. And I want to say to you, and I'm going to have to admit this to you, a lot of what I'm sharing here is not original to me. Not that much of what I say is original. There's not much originality around anyway, is there? You know, you look hard enough and far enough and you'll always find somebody that's saying what you've said before. I was hugely blessed by reading Spurgeon on this. And if you go online and have a look at Spurgeon on Deuteronomy 33:25, you will see it's just stunningly brilliant. I sat and I read it and I just said, oh God, thank you. And I thought, Spurgeon, if you can hear me, thank you as well. You know, just brilliant. And if you're online, go and have a look at Spurgeon on this. So I'm just picking out some of his best bits. I hope they come across as good to you as well. I'm just picking out three of about his 759 points he made on it. So I don't know how he packed it all into his messages. People must have sat there for hours. I mean, his sermon is about 10 pages long and it's like 0.8 print. You know, and it's single space. It's none of this double space with wide margins and all that kind of stuff. How long did it take him to preach it? But he did. And here we go. So this is not original. But first of all, the thing that Spurgeon pointed out was that this is it's a well-backed promise. The promises of God, and Spurgeon himself did this comparison. He said the promises of God are like a checkbook. And what you need to do is you need to cash the check. You need to live on the promise. You need to take it and you say, Lord, you've given me this promise. Now I'm trusting you to do it right. I don't know if you've had the situation where, and we don't get that many checks these days, do we? Those of you in business, you've probably had this more than us other mere mortals. But in the days when you'd have checks, you'd get a check and you'd take it to the bank and you'd pay it in, or you'd try and pay it in, and it would bounce because the other person didn't have the funds to support the check. The worst thing is when your check bounced, wasn't it? If you've ever had that, that's really embarrassing. You pay it out and you haven't got enough there. You know, the Lord has given us his checkbook of promises and he just says, look, I want you to cash them in. The question is, will he honour those promises? Well, when you've got a promise like this, as your days, so shall your strength be. I will give you all you need. Who is it that's making the promise? This is God himself that's making this. You know, we don't ever need to doubt that what he said he will be able to do. He will always honour them because he can honour them. There is nothing that God can't do. This, you know, we do need to keep in mind the bigness, the greatness of God, don't we? These wonderful words, you know, the omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, the all-knowingness of God, and all of those great words that we don't tend to use, but they mean so much. You know, we need to hold on to those and remember the greatness of God because he can do anything. And when we take him his one of his checks and say, Father, you've given me this check. Now, I need to cash it in now because I'm feeling weak and I'm feeling vulnerable. Father, I need you to come through on that promise. He always, always will. A couple of verses in the New Testament. I hope you can see those. Yeah, that's not too bad, is it? I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his... The key verses there are the glorious riches. The riches. Out of his glorious riches. Some of the translations, I think, probably put it better as this verse put it. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches. According to. Does anybody want to give us the difference between out of his riches and according to his riches? There's a difference, isn't there? What's the difference between out of his riches? You're all sitting, I know, and you're all shy. Who wants to go for that one? Kevin, can you? Yeah, it's proportionate, isn't it? It's proportionate. Because you could have somebody who's a millionaire, or you could have somebody who's a billionaire. And it's if it's according to, in proportion to, if you've got, and it's, 10% in proportion to a millionaire is less than 10% in proportion to a billionaire. I know who I'd rather have as my friend. If it's according to, and God says, that he will supply, he will meet all our needs according to. There's nothing that he can't do. He's anything we need. When we stop and we think, and this is why I've tried to, over the course of today to get some songs and some thoughts about the greatness of God. We started this morning with the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, and 10,000 Reasons. And it just speaks about the number of things that God has done for us. And tonight we started with From the Highest of Heights. And, the glory of God in creation and all that he's done and his control. All worship the King, all glorious above. It just speaks of the grandeur of God. And we need to keep practical about these things. How great is he? How big is he? What are his riches according to his greatness? Then, let's go and have a look at the night sky. Have a look at creation. Have a look at the stars. Go back in history. Go and read your Bible. Read what he's done in the past. Because the God of the Bible, you know and I know, is the same God today. And what he did in the Bible, he can do for us today. And he will do, he promises. As your days, so shall your strength be. I will give to you all that you need. He's the God that blew with the mighty wind and parted the Red Sea, heaping the water up on either side, so that the Israelites could go through. As your days, just when they needed it. They were probably thinking, it's too late, we're doomed. And God did his work. He's the God when they got into the promised land and they got to Jericho. What are we going to do here? This city with walls as wide as this building. How on earth are we going to get that? How on earth are we ever going to take this city? They knew they had to. And you know the story of what God did. They just went round and he knocked the walls down. Gideon has meant a lot to me these last few weeks. Gideon, who went to fight with the Midianites, and God, he didn't think he was going to be able to. He thought he was the weakest of all. And God said, I want you to do it. And he called an army, and there was 30,000 odd people came out, and God said, it's too many. He said, you've got to reduce it. So he reduces it to 3,000 odd. He says, it's still too many. And the Midianite army is kind of 100,000 strong. And God says, 3,000, it's still too many. And he reduces it down to 300. And that 300 people was the ones through whom God got the victory. It had to be, it was God that did it. It wasn't the people. And then slightly a different tack. Think of the Israelites when they're in Babylon. They've been taken off into exile. They've lived 70 years in exile. Taken away just as God had said, because they disobeyed him. And he said to Isaiah, years before it ever happened, I will raise up Cyrus. And you know what happened? there was a king called Cyrus came to the throne of Babylon, and he passed an edict saying that the Jews could return home. This is the power of God in our world. You see it in a natural world. He's in control of the politicians. He's in control of the nations. He's in control of the United Nations. All that we see and all that we hear, our God is in control. So when we say it's a promise, that's what I mean when I say it's a well-backed promise. This is God who's behind it. But it's also a limited promise. It says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Notice that. It says, as your days. It doesn't say, as your desires are. How often we'll all say, oh, I wish I could do this. I wish I had the faith or the strength to do that. He doesn't promise strength just so that we can do what we want or satisfy our desires. He says, as your days, as you need it, I will give it to you. He doesn't promise as your fears are, as your worries are. Spurgeon, in his own inimitable way, and you need to kind of understand that Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a preacher in London in the 1800s, 1850 to 1900, give or take a little bit. And he was a man who could paint in words, wonderful pictures. And in this sermon, he paints this wonderful word picture as he's talking to this crowd, probably 5,000-6,000 people, at the Metropolitan Tabernacle where he was preaching. And the guy was only 22 when he was preaching. And that was what staggered me when I worked out how old he was. And you've got to imagine how he was. And he imagined that in their backyards, many of the people had little cottage industries. And he said, it's like in your backyard, you have a little hut. And in your hut, you manufacture worries. He said, and you make your own worries, you make your own concerns, you make your own anxieties, you make your own troubles, and you make your own fears. And he said, it's like the fears that you make and the troubles that you make, your homemade ones, rather than the ones that come from God, your homemade ones, he said, they seem to last much longer than the ones that God makes. He said, because the things that God sends, the troubles that God sends, don't seem to last for very long. They come to us and they accomplish what God wants and they tend to go. Rarely do they last a long time once they've achieved his purpose. But those we make for ourselves, you know the expression, we made a rod for our own back. And when we do that, those rods seem to last a long time. The self-inflicted wounds, the worries that we bring on ourselves, they seem to last a long time. I'll give you strength for what you need when you need it, says God. He doesn't promise strength when we don't need it. He doesn't promise strength so that we can simply do the things that we want. It's limited. As your days, as you need it, I will give you your strength. He doesn't promise a strength that panders to our own weaknesses and worries. If he said, trust me, then we've got to trust him. He's not going to gratify our weaknesses by doing what we can do ourselves. If we won't obey him, if we won't take him and do what he says, then we can't expect him to give to us what we should be doing ourselves. So much of what we do or feel is not driven by God, it's driven by self. And he doesn't promise strength for those things. He promises strength for the things that he wants us to do. So in that sense, it's a limited promise. It's as your days shall be. But on the other hand, it's a limitless promise. Because he says, as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days. I keep a diary, much to the amusement of some in my family. And every day I just jot down a little bit at the end of the day what I've done, where I've been, and any significant things that have happened in my life or, you know, in the world. On those days, places I've gone to, how I felt sometimes, if I felt good or if I felt grotty, it goes in the diary. Now, some days, there's actually very little to write. Does anybody else keep diaries? Anybody else keep a diary? Yeah, do you find that some days there's just really nothing to write? You know, it's just just a day, isn't it? You know, you kind of got up and you've done the stuff that you have to do, and it really isn't very noteworthy. There are other days when it's kind of your writing has to get really small because you know you've got a lot that you want to write about. Big days. And the Lord says, as your days, so shall your strength be. Some days are full, some days are empty, some are easy, some are hard. Some days are happy, some days are sad. Some days are big, significant days. Others just pass by with little of note. The Lord says, whether it's a little day or whether it's a big day, I'll give you what you need according to that day. As your days, so shall your strength be. Those little days, well, I'll just give you what you need for that. You won't get much that day because you don't need much. But then comes that big day. God says, it's a big day today. You've got some big things you've got to do, big responsibilities, big deadlines to hit. You've got to cope with a lot. It's exam season. You know, it's family coming down season. It's an operation season. It's a hospital appointment season. It's a day today where you're going to get results from the tests that have taken place at the doctors, at the hospital. It's a big day. And the Lord says, as your day, so shall your strength be. Sometimes we look at our calendars and we think, how am I going to get through today? You kind of think, there's just so many things on there. Some days you wake up and you think it's going to be an easy day. And hardly have you started, and it kind of just explodes, and everything happens. The phone goes, and people come round, and you know, you're getting phone calls, and you're getting emails, and you're getting texts, and you're hearing things, and you're just being pulled every which way. As your days, when it's a big day, says the Lord, as your day, I will give. Isn't this a wonderful promise? I don't know if you're feeling it like I am, like I did when I was reading through this. I just thought, thank you, Lord. You know, what a message of comfort this is. What a message of strength and encouragement. You know, sometimes we think, I can't do this. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I think, Lord, you know, leading a church and, you know, the responsibility. And it's like the Lord says, Stuart, you trust me and I'll give you what you need. That doesn't mean that we don't take it seriously. It doesn't mean, you know, that I should glibly think, well, you know, que sera, sera. There is a seriousness about it. I think, you know, what I do is a hugely serious calling. But then it's the Lord and he promises that he will give to me. You have your own important calling. You know, whether it's education, whether it's work, whether it's working in the home, whether it's managing the home, whether it's caring for someone. You've got your own calling. You've got the things that the Lord has given you to do. That's important as well. And the Lord says to you, as your strength, whatever you're facing this week, I will be with you. I will help you in all of that. Often we're prone to worry, aren't we? What will happen if? What will happen when such and such happens? And the truth is, we don't know what will happen when those things happen, do we? We don't know what it's going to be like. We'll worry about it. We might say, how will I manage? How will I cope? The answer is that as your days, so shall your strength be. When you need it, I will give it to you, says the Lord. How do we face uncertain days? We face the uncertain days trusting the Lord and believing that he will come true on his promise. As your days, so shall your strength be. He won't give you the strength today because you don't need it, because that trouble, that situation isn't with you today, is it? But when it is there, when it does come to that day, he will give it to you. As your days, so shall your strength be. Of course, we don't know how he's going to do that. We don't know how he'll supply our strength. We don't know how he'll supply our needs, who he'll put alongside us, who and how he'll strengthen our emotions. We don't know how, but he promises that he will. This is the antidote to crippling worry and anxiety and uncertainty about the future. Whatever it might be that presses in on us to cause the concern, to bring the weight onto our shoulders as your strength, as your days, so shall your strength be. It may well be this evening that you or someone that you know is dreading some river that you've got to cross, some mountain that looms ahead and you think, I don't know how I'm going to climb. I don't know how I'm going to get around it. Or maybe you look ahead and there's darkness that you see. Maybe, and some of you have been here, you it's like a tunnel. It might not be for you, but somebody else that you know is there and it's a tunnel and it's hardly a pinprick of light at the end of it. Something that you're dreading going through. It might be that dread valley of the shadow of death. It might be some decision that you've got to make. It might be an event in your life, some situation that you know, whatever it's going to be, and you think, what am I going to do? Well, we have a choice. We can let it spoil today, or we can trust the Lord for it, don't we? As your days, so shall your strength be. Let's trust the Lord. Let's take him at his promise. Just encourage us as we finish this evening. I want you to have a look at a song. Are we going to sing this afterwards? Well, we'll just have a look at the words here. I want us to look at the words before we sing it, because often when we sing it, we're singing it through, and it doesn't give us time to stop and think of the value and the beauty and the power of the words. How many of you know the song? Gone Unbelief. Yeah, many of us will. It's an old song. But I just thought it sums up so much of what this lovely promise is about. My Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer, let me wrestle and prove that he saves with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the waves. Isn't that great? Trouble. Though dark be my way, since he is my guide, then I must obey, and he will provide. With human trust broken, when mortals all fail, the word he has spoken shall surely prevail. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. And can he have taught me to trust in his name, and thus this far have brought me to put me to shame? And when we sing it, we're going to sing slightly different words to that. Because in that, hopefully, in that song, there's that verse. It speaks about an Ebenezer. You know what an Ebenezer is? The line is, each sweet Ebenezer. And an Ebenezer is it's a memorial. And it was Samuel who built this memorial to remind him and the people of a wonderful deliverance that God had brought for them. It was a memorial stone that reminded them of what God had done. And hopefully the words that we're going to sing, have we got those words in the song, Chris? Yeah, it will come up about Ebenezer. Each sweet Ebenezer, I think it's each sweet Ebenezer I have in review. Go on, can you remember it? Oh, it's there now. I have in review, confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. It's so important to look back, isn't it? It's so important to think about what God has done in the past, because that's where our strength comes. Can I move that? Oh. Why should I complain of want or distress, temptation or pain? He told me no less the heirs of salvation. I know from his word, through much tribulation must follow their Lord. So let's not be surprised by it. Since all that I meet shall work for my good, the bitter is sweet. The medicine is food. The pain felt at present will cease before long. Then, oh, how pleasant the conqueror's song. It's a song of confidence, isn't it? Yes, John. It's a now word. Absolutely spot on. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Take that. It's exactly what we said at the beginning. Take it and share it with them. So, music team.